and this morning my guest is Deacon Hal Jopp, the director of the Office of Deacons for the Diocese of Wilmington. And, of course, Deacon Jopp is assigned to parish ministry at St. Benedict's Parish in Ridgely, Maryland. Good morning, Hal. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You always bring some very interesting topics to the program. And today we're going to talk about the Jesus Prayer. Now, for those of us who are not familiar with the Jesus Prayer, exactly what is the Jesus Prayer?
In its most common form, the Jesus Prayer is this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's an amalgamation of two passages from the Gospels. One from Luke 18:13 is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. These are the words of the tax collector. And the other part is from Mark chapter 10, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. These are the words of Bartimaeus.
So it's a very simple, short prayer. So, what's the big deal?
The big deal is it helps people to carry out the admonition of St. Paul, his letter to the Thessalonians, to pray always or pray unceasingly. Uh-huh. And when we first hear that, it's a challenge. How do we do that? And one way is to have this prayer embedded in our hearts. And so a short prayer like this, with a proper formation, is a way to achieve ceaseless prayer.
And if I'm not mistaken, this prayer has its roots in the Orthodox Church. Is that correct? Well, it's roots in Scripture, obviously, but tell us about the connection between the Orthodox Church and this prayer.
It's widely used in the Orthodox Church, especially in Orthodox monasticism, where a novice, either monk or a nun, would be given this prayer, entrusted with this prayer and a prayer rope, and to essentially, by constant repetition, embed the prayer in their heart. So it's been part of their tradition for centuries. Some say it's the Eastern counterpart of the rosary, but not quite.
Yeah, because the rosary is a little bit longer. I mean, well, although it does have the repetition that you're referring to. Is this the only form of the Jesus Prayer?
No, there are a number of forms, and in the Orthodox tradition, they are not wedded necessarily to the one I gave, the longer form. One in the Greek tradition would be, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. On Mount Athos, the monks have shortened it even more, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Some have shortened it to, Jesus, have mercy, or Lord, have mercy, what we would call the Kyrie eleison, or sometimes even just the word Jesus. The key here is not necessarily the form, but the spirit behind this prayer.
So why would someone want to have this prayer part of their spiritual life? What are the fruits of the Jesus Prayer?
The central fruit in my mind is peace, to achieve stillness and peace that allows people to turn to God as often as they can during the day, even during the night, when they don't have time to attend Mass or say formal prayers or long prayers. This repetition can gradually sink into their heart. So to quote some lines from some of the Coptic and Greek Orthodox abbots that I came across recently, one said it's to sit alone at the feet of God and feel his grace. And another says that Jesus Prayer kind of puts him in the direction of the spiritual life, and he says the truest moments of spiritual life are moments of peace. And another abbot said, peace of the soul is half of the spiritual life, but it comes as a fruit of struggle. So achieving the peace that allows us to pray is the central purpose of the Jesus Prayer.
Now, I guess like the rosary, when you're praying the repetitious prayers of the rosary, you're also contemplating at the same time the mysteries, different parts of Jesus' ministry or the Blessed Mother's life and so forth. How about with the Jesus Prayer? While you're repeating the prayer, is there something else you should be thinking of?
From my reading of those who are great practitioners of the Jesus Prayer, eventually the words recede. You're not going to meditate necessarily on Jesus or sin or mercy. You might get you started, but eventually the words start repeating themselves in your heart, often silently. And so you get to a point where it just stills you to allow the grace of God to operate. So it becomes a kind of a meditative moment, but necessarily one fixed on images or concepts.
But is this something that you can do while, say, driving or washing the dishes, or, is this something that you can do while you're doing your everyday chores, or is this more like a mantra that will put you into a meditative state?
Now, that's a good question. No, it can be all of the above. Mm-hmm. Certainly while you're doing things, you could be repeating it. Some people fall asleep saying the Jesus prayer. During the middle of the night, they wake up and the words just come right to their mind. They might wake up in the morning. But it can also, when you get moments during the chores that you have to do, the tasks you have to do, the prayer can just spring right up. But you've got to prepare yourself for that, to work that way.
So tell us about how this works. How can you get this Jesus prayer embedded into your psyche or life or prayer life to such a point where that it just becomes part of your nature?
One of the ways that I found that helped me to get started on this was a book called The Way of a Pilgrim. It's written by an anonymous Russian writer in the 19th century, a very simple peasant who is trying to journey toward God. This is a classic spiritual work, by the way, in the Orthodox Church. And this peasant finds a starets, or a holy man, a kind of what we might call a spiritual director, and he wants to know how to pray always. And he's given the Jesus Prayer. And the starets tells him to take this prayer cord, we'll talk more about that in a minute, and say the prayer 3,000 times a day. I'm quoting from the book now. Whether you are standing or sitting, walking or lying down, continually repeat, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Say it quietly and without hurry. Initially, he wanted to do it 3,000 times a day. Then the peasant comes back to him after a while, after a couple of weeks, and says, well, it was rather difficult, but then I started to like this prayer, and it started to come to me freely. So the starets said, okay, now do it 6,000 times a day, and God will help you do that. So he did that. And this got a little bit difficult because he said even his jaw would get sore trying to say it 6,000 times. Yeah. A couple weeks later, he goes back again, and he says, now that you've gotten used to the prayer, see that you strengthen the habit and preserve it. Waste no time. So he tells him to up it to 12,000 times a day, where after a point, you stop counting.
Right.
At that point, it becomes embedded in his heart. And he said it was as though my lips and my tongue pronounced the words entirely of themselves without any urging. Now, that's a kind of rigid way of looking at it, but the point is it does take some repetition to get that so that it springs up almost of its own volition.
Uh-huh. You mentioned the prayer cord. What is the prayer cord?
There are a number of terms for the prayer cord. Some call it the Eastern Church's rosary, and it initially looks like a rosary. The traditional ones are made of lamb's wool. And it's a rope, looks very much like a rosary. It has a number of beads on it or knots. It can vary in number. The one I have has 33, one for each year of the life of Jesus. Some have 150 knots, one for each of the Psalms. And there are different versions today. Some of those are on wood. But the notion is it helps you keep your body active while you're saying the prayer. You kind of run your finger across them. It looks very much like what you see some in Islam use, prayer rope. There's no cross on it. Traditionally, and the rope itself has a tradition. It's made of wool, and the wool symbolizes the flock of Christ. Traditionally, it was black to symbolize mourning for our sins, and at certain spacing, often at 10 knots, it would have a red bead, and red is the color for the blood of Christ and the blood of martyrs. And at the very end, there's a sort of tassel, and it was used to dry the tears that would come to us for being sorry for our sins. So the very rope itself has a symbolism that allows people to almost automatically get into the prayer. So it has other names and other traditions, but it was entrusted to especially novices, monks and nuns, when they entered into religious life.
In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guest this morning for the second Sunday of Lent is Deacon Hal Jopp. Deacon Jopp is the director of the Office of Deacons for the diocese. He is in parish ministry at St. Benedict's Parish in Ridgely, Maryland. And today we're talking about a prayer tradition that comes from our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters called the Jesus Prayer. And it's very fascinating. How did you get interested in the Eastern Church?
In 1999, I got to spend a month at a Byzantine Catholic monastery, Ukrainian Catholic monastery in California, where we were immersed in the kind of Orthodox way of monasticism. We lived with the monks and prayed with them. And so I learned from my colleagues there about the Jesus prayer. I'd heard about it a long time ago, but those who were Eastern Catholics would have these prayer ropes around their wrist. So you, naturally, when you had a chance, you'd ask them questions about it. Later on, though, I came across it more intensely when I was participating in week-long deacon training programs for Eastern Catholic deacons in Stamford, Connecticut. That's when I read The Way of the Pilgrim. And it was really on the train ride back and forth from Stamford that I really read about that peasant and how he tried to learn to pray. And I just started saying them as much as I could. And I decided I did not want this to fall out of my spiritual life. I could see this as an aid.
So tell us about the Jesus Prayer and how it has affected your life.
The fundamental benefit to me are the moments of silence. And it was interesting, just a week ago, our Pope was speaking to directors of communication around the world, and he began by emphasizing the virtue of silence. Mm-hmm. It seemed a little bit unusual for directors of communication to be focusing on silence.
I'm very rarely silent.
So I think all of us need it. Most of us don't know how to achieve it, or if we have silence, we quickly want to fill it up with something.
Right.
The Jesus Prayer, in a sense, fills it, but in a way that stills us. It allows the grace of God to enter into our hearts, but our mind is occupied with words, our fingers, our bodies are occupied with the prayer rope. So in many ways, it's an ideal way to settle down and let God speak to us.
Mm-hmm. Why hasn't this been more a part of the Roman Catholic Church?
There's no reason why it can't be, why
yeah.
it shouldn't be. And I think those who explore the spiritual life sooner or later encounter the Eastern Church. Pope John Paul II urged us to learn to breathe with our Eastern lung.
Right.
And I think it's not part of our tradition, hasn't been. So when you come across people who stress it, suddenly the lights come on and people think, oh, this is valuable to me. Another thing that I found fascinating was it kind of connects us back with the Old Testament when Moses saw the burning bush. And God revealed his name. Well, this reverence for the name of God that was in the Old Testament carries forward into the New Testament, and certainly the Jesus Prayer enshrines the reverence of the name Jesus, because the very shortest version of the Jesus Prayer is Jesus.
Yeah. Now, we only have a couple moments left. Since this is a tradition from the Eastern Church, does the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church have anything to say about it?
Paragraph 2667, the Catechism says, this simple invocation of faith developed in the tradition of prayer under many forms in East and West. Its traditional version is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Catechism goes on to say, the invocation of the holy name of Jesus is the simplest way of praying always. When the holy name is repeated, often by a humbly attentive heart, the prayer is not lost by heaping up empty phrases, but holds fast to the word and brings forth fruit with patience. This prayer is possible at all times because it is not one occupation among others, but the only occupation, that of loving God. And that's our tradition, the Roman Catholic Church, the kind of high regard in which we do hold it.
If our listeners would like to get more information about the Jesus Prayer, maybe even purchase a prayer rope, where can they turn?
And on the web, it's very easy. A lot of the Orthodox sites, their gift shops, would sell them.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. And Hal Jobs, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum and for sharing information about the Jesus Prayer, and might be something that we would want to try to incorporate into our spiritual life, especially during the season of Lent. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.